This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Alejandro Badia, founder of OrthoNow and Badia Hand to Shoulder Center in Florida. Dr. Badia, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we jump into the questions, could you please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I'm a hand and upper limb surgeon. I was actually born in Cuba. Grew up in New Jersey, public school kid, did my undergrad work at Cornell in physiology, went to medical school in New York City at NYU, and then stayed there to train at NYU and Bellevue Hospital, and then did my hand fellowship in Pittsburgh and did an AO trauma fellowship in Germany. I've been in Miami 25 years, and we are all of a sudden becoming the center of the universe here in Miami for some reason, so it's an exciting place to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, when you talk about Miami being the center of the universe, could you tell a little bit more about, you know, how the healthcare there is making a difference in what really is important to you and your practice?
Sure. One of the reasons I came to Miami is I wanted to go somewhere where I could use my Spanish. So I interviewed only in a number of places, always kind of knowing that I wanted to be in this area. And I frankly had the vision that this would be a really vibrant cosmopolitan city in the future. When I got here, it wasn't quite that. And now we see after the pandemic, it's amazing what's happened here. I also have a pretty vibrant international practice. So Miami is almost considered the capital of Latin America. So I have patients who come from all throughout the Caribbean, where really there isn't a lot of hand surgery being done. And then also in Central America, Mexico, and certainly South America, and nowadays even Europe and occasionally Asia. So it's great to be able to develop that kind of practice here. I will say it can be a difficult place in terms of traditional medicine, HMOs and all of these things came here early on. So it's been kind of a struggle for traditional practice, and perhaps one of the reasons that a decade ago I developed the OrthoNow concept, which has really been pretty revolutionary in how a lot of patients come to me and my colleagues.
Absolutely, I can imagine so. And, you know, in terms of OrthoNow, can you just explain a little bit more about what that is and tell us about your career and how that's evolved with the founding of OrthoNow as well as your practice?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, I noticed I had broken off from a group that I co-founded. It became a five-man hand surgery group. We were all, honestly, all very accomplished hand surgeons. It was an amazing experience. But I broke off because I saw some issues. And when I was in my own practice, I soon realized that everybody who came to see me had been to two or three places before. And it still happens. I'm seeing patients today, and it's amazing the stories of the kind of inefficiency of how patients come to see the right orthopedic subspecialist. So I said, you know, instead of a general urgent care, which is very accessible, very convenient, more cost effective, but they don't have the expertise. So the patients go to a general urgent care and often leave without the problem really resolved, let alone, even diagnosed. So I started what soon became a small network of orthopedic walk-in centers. And, you know, we're in the process now of finding the right strategic national partner to really expand this. And it has changed my practice because I no longer depend on the hospitals. I firmly believe that hospitals obviously have an important place. But when it comes to, say, hip fractures in the elderly or high energy trauma, like a femur fracture. But I really don't think people with what I do, for example, which is, a wrist fracture or shoulder pain, really should be sitting and languishing in an emergency room. And now COVID has really brought that to light, right? People realize they don't want to go to a place that may be laden with this virus. And so now there's been a lot more acceptance of this idea, not only in the marketplace, but particularly amongst my colleagues. For a long time, everyone was interested in what I and some other people were doing in this space of orthopedic urgent care, but now they're really embracing it. And I think it's important that we collaborate, because Lord knows that you know, the insurance companies and a lot of the other forces are not necessarily collaborating with us. And we need to do that as the clinicians who actually provide the care.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how healthcare, the healthcare models of delivery and practice are really changing today.
Yeah.
When you think about rapidly your top three priorities, what do you see as really being your focus areas over the next year or two?
Oh, by far number one is to find the right partner for OrthoNow. We started that some years ago, but the problem is I'm still a pretty busy surgeon, so it often got relegated to second or third priority. But now it really is a priority where some interesting things are happening now, again, partly related to COVID. My second priority is, you might say it's my first priority, but I always have to put it right up there, is my patient care and really expanding the international practice I've developed, just because it's very interesting to be able to see people who don't necessarily have somebody in their home city or country that that may be able to resolve that clinical problem. So rather than those patients going to, say, the big, you know, famous centers that we know of in other cities, they can come to Miami, and we have everything under one roof. So I've always been a proponent of kind of one-stop shopping medicine, where I can see a patient, they can get the X-ray, they can have an ultrasound, they can have the MRI right down the hall, they can have surgery down another hall, and then they can have rehab all under one roof as an outpatient. So that has been really my other priority. And then the last one is more of a nebulous, but I'm really interested in seeing our healthcare system get reformed in the right way. When we watch the news channels and the politicians speaking, they're always talking about the number of uninsured, but nobody seems to talk about the fact that the way we deliver healthcare in the U.S. is incredibly inefficient and costly. So when I wrote this book, which is now an Amazon bestseller in about 15 categories, Healthcare from the Trenches, I talk about what issues there are in healthcare delivery that we face every day. So I just had a wonderful talk with Senator Cassidy, one of the three physicians in the Senate, Senator Cassidy from Louisiana, who was really on board with me with this thinking. And I'm hoping that over the next few years, we might be able to get some real common sense healthcare reform, because I don't think the current cost is sustainable to our economy.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, both in medicine as well as in Washington, D.C., are really thinking a lot about that and trying to figure out how to lower the spending. And obviously, from your perspective, you know, with the practice that you have and with the surgery centers, you know, you've got an answer there. Being an author as well as a physician, could you talk a little bit more about the books and your experience of writing them and what really, you know, is kind of the philosophy that you are proposing within them?
Well, I will tell you, this was a very different writing than what I'm accustomed to. I've written over the years a lot of scientific papers, like many of my colleagues, and even book chapters, which is a somewhat different skill set, where you're summarizing things in books. But those are chapters. This is an entire book. I'm also relying on about 25 different collaborators for very short excerpts to support what we're talking about, because I don't think the book is powerful if it's just one doctor talking about their experience, right? I think it helps that we have different people in the healthcare arena, including some patients, and all of us are coming together to bring forth this experience that almost any clinician would be able to relate to and agree with. So that has been a very different experience, because lay people, not colleagues, but lay people are engaging now and saying, yes, you know, this makes sense. I'm having this experience when I go to my doctor, and I don't know why it's so complicated and so expensive. It's really interesting to see how the book's being received, particularly in popular media. I wrote the whole thing really during lockdown. I got home from lecturing at a Asian Pacific meeting in Australia, right around the same time that Tom Hanks was diagnosed with COVID, right very near Sydney. And I was in Australia as well, and barely got back actually because they were closing airports left and right. And then we weren't on lockdown. And you know, rather than just binging on Netflix or writing scientific articles, I decided to finish a book that I had started. And I did that in about 10 to 12 weeks time. It was released in June, and it's been a really interesting journey.
Wow, that's fascinating to think about, and great to hear, you know, you were able to put all that together during the pandemic when obviously there was so much else going on. Before we wrap up here, I was wondering, you know, you mentioned that you did some of your training at Bellevue Hospital in New York City. Could you talk a little bit about that experience as well and in some of your connections treating patients there?
Well, yeah, Bellevue has a really special place in my heart. I think anybody who's trained at NYU or Bellevue Hospital will tell you that it is the oldest city hospital. It used to compete for that honor with charity, but many know that Katrina kind of, you know, the Hurricane Katrina did away with charity hospitals. So now Bellevue is the undisputed king of the oldest city hospital. It is, interestingly enough, where William A. Nolan, MD, trained. William Nolan is a person who inspired myself and many other surgeons. He wrote a book in the 70s called The Making of a Surgeon. And I read that when I was 11 years old. And then I read it a second time when I was 16. And I was certain to not only be pre-med when I went to college, but I was very interested in being a surgeon. And ironically, that is where William Nolan trained, was at Bellevue. And he trained in what they would call at that time the Cornell division. So I did my undergrad work at Cornell. So here's this person who I didn't know was walking the same hallways I did decades later. So it really was a special place for me where I really got to learn how to be a surgeon. Because when you're in these city hospitals and these you know, polytrauma patients come in, you're on your own. And with your other residents, you're figuring it out, and it is an incredible experience, and confidence booster to train in a place like that. So I talk about a lot of the experiences at Bellevue in my book. So I think it's in chapter 3, where I talk about surgical training and relate some interesting stories at Bellevue, which was really a magical place.
Absolutely. It sounds like, you know, there's a lot of very interesting things you're able to do there and really a great place to learn. I'm wondering, before we close out our conversation, if you could share just one or two things that most significantly impacted you about, you know, Dr. Nolan's book or your time at Bellevue, or really, you know, some of the things that you've seen over the past few years in your practice that really make you feel like, you know, the work of being a surgeon is really something that is meant for you.
Yeah, well, you know, city hospitals, anybody will tell you that it really kind of bears open the human soul and spirit. You see people from all walks of life, every socioeconomic class, a lot of people who, are down on their luck. And it's a special bond when you're somebody with this, you know, this level of education, and you're maybe, you know, trying to understand the perspective of a homeless person who's in pain, that's a really special. People who train in hospitals like that often yearn to go and do medical missions in countries and impoverished countries, because there's something about that that's a special feeling. So that's kind of what I think about first when I think about Bellevue. And there's so many advances in medicine that occurred there. I mean, it just, they have a small museum there, and it's a fascinating place. I was there a couple of years ago. When I go to New York, I still have a small apartment there, and it's just fun for me to just stop in and relive those memories.
Dr. Badia, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and we look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thanks so much. And I hope some of the listeners get to read the book, and we would love to hear their feedback. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. What was the title of the book?
Healthcare from the Trenches. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There's healthcarefromthetrenches.com, or you can find it at my website, the link, Dr. Badia, or drbadiabook.com.